Good morning, everybody. In Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah lists off all the various things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, all of the Nisim, all the Nisim. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah, in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah is to Pirkei Avos, that's known as the Shmita Prokim, because it has eight short chapters. The Rambam explains that all the Nisim Gluyim that are recorded in Tanakh weren't Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Teva. When Bnei Yisrael came to the Yamsuf, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the Teva. These were all part of the Teva. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he created the Yamsuf, the Pasuk says, after the creation of the Yamsuf was over, Yoshab Hayom Le'esano, the Yamsuf went back to its own Tokef. So the Medrash says, Le'esano, Aleph Yud Tof Nun, is the same letter as Tanai, Tof Nun Aleph Yud. Tanai, his HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Ma'isa Bereshis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that was a big Nes, Yesh Me'ayin, it created the whole world. So he built in fine print, like sometimes you have a contract between two businessmen, and they put in fine print all kinds of details. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in Tanoim, and the Briyas HaOlam, everything goes B'chukei HaTeva, but once in a while, the Chukei HaTeva are different. So Tanai Hista HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis, that when Bnei Yisrael will come to the Yam Suf, it should split for them. So the Mon in the Pi Ha'aretz, in Parshas Korach, it says, V'tiptoch Ha'aretz says Pi, and Korach V'adosa got swallowed up by the earth. This was not a nest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Chukei HaTeva on the occasion of the rebellion of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu. This was built into the Teva from Sheshes Mei Bereshis. As opposed to a Neis Nista, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exercising Hashgacha Pratis. Hashgacha Pratis is a nest that's happening right now, under our eyes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making the nest now. But all the Nisim Gluyim that are mentioned in Tanakh are not a nest that's happening now. This is part of the old nest of the Bria Shamayim Boretz, Sheshes Mei Bereshis. All of the Nisim Gluyim were Tanai His HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Rambam in the Hakdamah to Pirkei Avos. But we read in today's Sedra that comment, Moshe Rabbeinu says, in Bria Yivra Hashem, Afotza Sohadoma Es Piha. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, in Bria, if the Piha Oretz is over here from Sheshes Mei Bereshis, so be it. So let the Piha Oretz open up and Korach V'Adosa should be swallowed up. And if not, then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yivra Hashem, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make a miracle now. So that's the question. Is that permissible to ask for a miracle? The Mishnah Brocha says, if my wife is already pregnant and has obviously been determined already, whether it's a boy or a girl, she's holding in the 8th month already. Either it's a boy or a girl. So then the Mishnah says, it's improper, it's a tefillah shav, to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it should be a boy or a girl, whatever he would prefer to have, because you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do a miracle. If it's a girl, you want it to change it to a boy. It's not right. You're not allowed to ask for a miracle. So that's the question. How come Moshe Rabbeinu says, in Bria Yivra Hashem, and if the Pihoritz is not here, he calls upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a miracle. And the Haftarah also, you always have to have some connection between the Haftarah and the Sedra. The Haftarah was a Takonis HaTanoim that Yushalein, the one who gets Mafta, can pick whatever Haftarah he wants in Novi, provided that it's Minyana Diyoma. So what is Minyana Diyoma? So once in a while Minyana Diyoma is because because you have a chasen and shul. The Ramah records a minhag from the days of the Balei HaTosfos, when there was a chasen and shivus me'amishta, they wouldn't say the haftarah of the Parshas HaShavua. And Minyana Diyoma is, you say that haftarah that starts off so says Bashem Togam Afshibela Kai Kil Bishani Big Deyesha, Mil Toko Yotan Kechosin Yechayer Peer, Vachakalot Hater Kelehu. We don't have that meaning anymore. But years ago, from the days of the Balei HaTosfos, through the days of the Ramah, there was a long time. So the meaning was that was called the Yonah Diyoma. Or when I think Rab Shrevi Goen passed away and they appointed his son Rab Haigoen as the head of the yeshiva, so they said the Haftarah of Ayamas Moshe. that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away and Yeshua Benun took over. That was in Yonah the Yoma, because Reb Shreira Gwan passed away and they appointed his son, Rav Haigwan, to take over. Sometimes in Yonah the Yoma is Macha Chodesh. It has nothing to do with the Kriya Sator, but tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, so you lay Macha Chodesh. And usually in Yonah the Yoma is that there's some connection between that section, the Nenevuah and the Navi, and the Parshas HaShavua. So this simple connection between Parshas Korach and Haftorah is about the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach staged a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, and Haftorah they were rebelling against the leadership of Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel was very hurt about it. He was very upset. Why don't they like his leadership? But if you look a little more carefully, you'll see that there's another connection, that Moshe Rabbeinu in the Parsha calls upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make an S, something that's usually not allowed. And then in the Haftarah also, Shmuel HaNavi calls upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael in the summertime, starting from Pesach till Shmini Hatzeres, it doesn't rain. So Shmuel HaNavi calls upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Zman Kitzira, and it doesn't rain, and everything calls up HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show the people that they're sinning by asking for a melech. There's nothing wrong with his leadership, and he calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu to cause it to rain, that the people should know that they're sinning. So the Shari Tshuva next to the Be'er Heitev brings up this issue. I think it quotes it from his ancestor, the Panim Meiris, that the Gemara says in Perek Mamem Adlikin that when the Chachamim instituted the Yom Tov of Chanukah, they made part of the Takana was that we should recite V'al HaNisim in the Shmoneh Esrei. The Gemara has a question: what about the recite V'al HaNisim in Birchas Hamazon? Is that required or not? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion: it's not part of the Takana. There's no mitzvah to have a Suda on Chanukah. On Purim, yes. On Purim, the part of the Takana, you should have a Suda Purim, and you should recite V'al HaNisim in the Birchas HaMazon. And if you forget V'al HaNisim in the Birchas HaMazon on Chanukah, by Suda on Purim, the Magen Avraham quotes Machlokes HaChronim. Some say you have to repeat the benching. But on Chanukah, they never made a Takana. So the Gemara says it's a Rishus. It's not considered a Hepsik. If on Chanukah, the person decides that he wants to say V'al HaNisim, the Mei Chashmanoyev, Mei Matiso Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmanoy Abanav, it's not a hepsik, but you're not obligated to recite it. So it's obvious that if one forgets to say Al HaNisim, it doesn't have to repeat the Birch Samozen. If it's only a minik, it's not even required. So the Ramo says that despite the fact that if one forgets Al HaNisim HaChanukah, he doesn't have to repeat, he's not permitted to repeat the Birch Samozen. After the benching is over, we add on a lot of bakoshes, a lot of tchilas harachem, and imuchalenu yonvar rachem yizbarach b'shamayim b'varetz. We add a lot of tchilas and bakoshes that begin with the word harachman. So we should add another harachman. Harachman yasalon and nisim and flos. B'shem shasisa labzene b'yam amayim azman hazeh. Then he said, b'mei matis yo ben yoichanan. So the Shari Tshuva quotes the kasha from the Panim Meiris, think that was an ancestor of his. How can you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu yasalon and nisim and flos? The Mishnah says in Brachas, that's a Tfilah Shav, you're not permitted to ask the Nisim and the Flos. So he quotes the three klolim of the Panim Meiris. The first klal is that Ein Mazal Yisrael, the Jewish history is not governed with the rules and regulations of world history. History of the Jewish people is not Tachas Shlitas HaKachovim VaMazalas. Jewish history is Lamayla Men HaTeva. So if one is calling upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Harachman Yasalon and Nisim and Eflos on behalf of Kol Yisrael, that's permissible to ask for such an S, because the Jewish history doesn't go according to the rules and regulations of history in general. Then not only is it permissible to ask for an S on behalf of all of Kol Yisrael, let's say a big tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, Shokol Kanegel Shishim Riba, big tzaddikim are permitted to ask for Nisim because they also have Anhoga L'mayla Min HaTeva. And the Panim Meiris refers you to the third perek in Maseches Tainis, in the Agadatus, in the Gemara. And the Mishnah, it doesn't have anything, but in the Agadatus you have one story after the other, after the other, after the other, the way Tanoim and Amoraim called the Parakadosh Baruch Hu, that perek is otherwise known as Pirkei d'Chassidi, the perek all about the Hasidim, who prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should do Nisim for them, and he did. So apparently we assume that just like Klal Yisrael is l'mala min ha-teva, a mazal Yisrael, Jewish history is not tachos shlitas ha-kachod ma-hazalas. It's unusual tzaddikim also have a right to ask for Nisim. So that's why today said Ramesh Rabbein has the right to ask for an S in Bria Yir Hashem. If this is not where the Pihoritz is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the Pihoritz now. And that's why Shmuel HaNavi was an unusual tzaddik. And the Haftarah also, he had the right to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do an Eis Nigla. And then the third klal that the Panamiris says is, the ask for an Eis Nista, that's always permissible. Achman Yassalon and Nisim in the floors, we're asking for Nisim Gluyim. So that's only on behalf of Klal Yisrael for unusual tzaddik. But to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to intervene and to exercise Hashgacha Pratis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always does. It's always Hashgacha Pratis, and that's a Neis Nista, that's permissible. Remember the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael, we spent a week, I went with my wife, we spent a week in Bnei Brak to visit different people there. My wife's grandfather, at the end of his life, lived in Bnei Brak, so he visited many of the people whom he was friendly with. So I remember one day I davened Mincha in the Panavish Yeshiva. So after Mincha was over, they were saying Tehillim. One of the people in the kollel was sick with cancer. They were saying Tehillim. He was very sick. So we saw the way Rav Chatzka Levenstein was the Mashgiach at that time. He was a very old man. He was very short. And Rav Shmuel Rozovsky was tall. They were sitting next to each other. This was in 1968. And we found out, so Rav Shmuel Rozovsky leaned over and there's some kind of conversation. And then something was straightened out. So we found out later that the conversation was, Mashgiach didn't want to say Tehillim. He said, the man is so sick, but Derech HaTeva is going to die. What are you asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a miracle for him? You can ask for a refuah shleima for such a chayla. He doesn't stand a chance, but Derech HaTeva. So how can you ask for a nes? So Shmuel Rozovsky leaned over and apparently he told him that this young man in the kollel who's sick with the cancer has the same degree cancer that Pliny had, and Pliny got better. So there's a chance that this person will get better with Derech HaTeva. So Mashgiach said, okay, then he's going to join in the reciting of the Tehillim, he's going to say. But to be mispal for a chayla, that he should have a refuah, when the Derech HaTeva, it seems that it's highly unlikely, that's not permissible. That's like asking for a miracle. You can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should have Rachmanis on the chayla. Sometimes the Rachmanis says that the chayla should die. That's the Ran and the Dorim on Daf Mem Amar Aleph points out. And he quotes the Gemara in the end of Ksubis, that's called Ashkafta de Rebbe. The day that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi died, what was going on? So Amsa de Bei Rebbe, Rebbe's maid, was a Jewish woman, and she felt that it would be better for Rebbe, he should die in peace. There was a blacksmith that kept on banging in his shop in Yerushalayim, so he kept, and Rebbe was in the process of dying. So every time he would bang and make noise, so Rebbe would perk up again, and he was suffering at the end of his life. So Amsa de Bei Rebbe felt it would be better if he would die in peace. So the Ran says, you see from the Gemara that you're permitted to pray for a person that he should die in peace, even permitted to do something to hasten the death of the person. You can't kill him, Mekum Yasei. But she sent a message to the blacksmith, he should stop making noise. When he stopped making noise, and Rebbe died in peace, because the noise was the noise that the blacksmith was making by banging was causing him to perk up, and he kept on extending his life and suffering. If you want to hasten a person's death and you unplug his ventilator or you take away the intravenous or something, then you're killing him, Mikumi Asay. But over here, they just got the blacksmith to stop making noise. Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva about this. People don't die because it's quiet. If it's quiet in the house, you're not going to die. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died because he had a sickness. He was old and he was sick. That's why he died. But the noise was causing him to perk up all the time. So when Amsa de Bei Rebbe sent the message, they should stop making the noise. They stopped the noise. Then he died from the sickness that he had. So that's Hasaras HaMoneya. the noise was preventing Rebbe from dying. So if you take away Hasaras Hamaneya, that's okay. So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch has that. The Stipler has, after the Chazon Ish passed away, they published a collection of letters written by the Chazon Ish. They have, I think, three little collections. And then after the Stipler passed away, they also published a few collections of letters that he wrote during his lifetime. So they have one of the letters is about this, in the first volume of Krina de Igarta. So he, so the Stipler writes, as little children, it was ingrained in our minds that the Jewish position always is that you always extend life. You always try to extend people's lives. And then he said, we got a little old and we learned to run in the Dorim on Daf Mem. And you see that it's not always so. We don't always extend. We don't always feel that you have to extend life. And then we got a little old and we started learning Yerideya. So at the end of Yerideya, the Ramot also talks about not extending life at all. Sometimes you hasten the death of the person. If it's Hasaras Hamaneya, we would be permitted to do that. Rabbi Falaji has a tshuva where he says, even though it's sometimes recommended that we should daven that the patient should die, but there was a situation, the husband should daven that his wife should die. That looks terrible. Looks as if they never had any shalom bayis. So the husband should ask other people to daven. His wife is suffering from the sickness. That doesn't look nice. He should pray she should die. The husband should encourage other people. They should pray that the wife should die. But there is such a concept, we don't always extend life. The Torah has a special iser. The Poshep Shat is, we should taste the machtos that the sinners use to bring the Torahs, and we should make a tzipur lamizbeach, and the people will see it, and they won't make another rebellion. But the Gemara says, the Gemara reads it as if there's a lav here. It's an additional level of interpretation. You interpret the pasuk as a lav. What is a lav all about? So the pasuk shad the lav, no one should be cholak ala kohuna. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation on this additional level, that it's a lav, anyone who is machzik be machlekes, any machlekes. Not only you shouldn't be cholak ala kohuna, why the Kohanim were separated from the rest of Klal Yisrael, but it's a lav never to be machzik machlekes. A lot of times there's a machlekes in the family, and then it goes over to the next generation, they already forgot what the source of the machlekes was. There's no reason that the 2-3 generations later, they still don't talk to each other. They're second cousins, third cousins. They don't invite each other to weddings and so on. So that's why the Chofetz Chaim complains a lot about that. That's the lav, layik korech v'chadosa. At the end of the Sedra, Rashi quotes from the Midrashim, at the end of the Sedra, because korech was ma'arer ala kohuna, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu reviews many of the matnas kohuna. He doesn't have everything. He doesn't have all of the Gemara has in the end of Chulin that there are chof dalid matnas kohuna. There are 24 matnas kohuna. They're really more than 24. But apparently, when the Tanoim mentioned this number, Chav Dalad Matas Kona, they're combining a few together and considering them as one. So there are different opinions about what's the calculation? What is the Cheshbon? How did they arrive at this number of 24? Which did they combine together? Which did they count separately? So part of the issue involved in how to count the 24 is what's the difference how you count it? There are more than 24, Hashem. What's the difference? So Chapsan Afkamina, there was in the days of the Goyim, there was a Shita, the Rashboa Masech Shabbos quotes it in the Chidushim, that Maisa Behema, if a farmer has 10 or more sheep were born, or cows were born, Behema Gaza, Behema Daka, kosher animals were born in his herd in the course of the year, so it's a mitzvah that he should put them all together in one corral, have a very narrow doorway to go out, and they should go one by one, and he should count from 1 to 10. Masiri yeh kodesh l'Hashem. Maisa behema becomes kodesh. So there's a big machlokes, is that from the matnas kohuna or not? So that's one of the differences in how do you calculate the chof dalad matnas kohuna. So there was an opinion in the days of the Goinim that maisa behema is from the matnas kohuna. You mafresh the maisa behema. The Mishnah says the Meiser is Nechal L'chol Odom, means a b'chor b'em Torah, a non-kohen is not allowed to eat it. It may only be eaten by kohanim. It could be ma'aseh b'em is a matan skun, you have to give it to the kohen, but the kohen is allowed to give the flesh to Israel to eat. It's not the same as truma, not the same as a b'chor b'em Torah, that it may not be eaten by a zar. But the Rashba says that most of the Rishonim disagree. All the Rishonim, Rashi and Chumash, said there is no such thing. Ma'aseh b'em is not from the matan's kohuna. The farmer brings it as a carpenter to Beis HaMikdash, and the farmer eats it. That's what Rashi writes on Chumash, and Rashi on the Mishnah says that Mekoyman says like that. It never says in Chumash anywhere that you have to give it away, not to the Kohen and not to the Levi. So the farmer brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. But at the end of Parshas Korach, so the Chumash records many of the Matan's Kohen, because Korach was Ma'ar ala Kohen, so the Torah felt it necessary to review some of these matanas. The Chumash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Kohanim Mishmeres Trumosai in the plural. It doesn't say Trumosi in the singular. It says Trumosai. So Mishmeres means you have to be careful. You have to have Shmira. You shouldn't be Mesiach Das. You should be careful with the Truma, not to let it Hoylach Leibut. It shouldn't get ruined. And it shouldn't become tamei, because if the truma will become tamei, the kohen won't be able to eat it, so it'll be halach liibud. So that din of mishmeres doesn't only apply to truma torah; it even applies to truma tmeo. Even truma tmeo also, you have to give to the kohen, and the kohen has a right to use it. He can't eat it, he can't do sicha, he can't shmer it on his body because sicha kishtiya. But he can use it lahasika tachas tavshila, can use it as fuel, or he can use it as fuel to cook tachas tavshila, to cook food with it, or let's say if you have shemen zayis, and the kohen needs illumination, he needs some lighting at night when he's walking in the street. So the Gemara says if you have a street but kohanim go there, so you can light the shemen. Shaltruma Tmeya, you can light it and the Kohanim will use it. And once the Kohanim use it, then the Israelim can use it also, because Truma is also Bachila to a Zar, but it's Muta Bahno, it's only also Hano Shal Kilui. So if the Zar, if the non-Kohen will take the Truma Tmeya and he'll use it to illuminate his street, no Kohanim are getting Hano from it. So he's consuming the Shemen Shaltruma, the Shemen Tomi Shaltruma, for his purposes to get Hano. That's Hano Shal Kilui. From the Truma, it's not allowed. But if there are Kohanim who live on this day, so Goyna lives there anyway, then we apply the Kalal Ne'er Li'echad Ne'er Le'meya. There's no special Kiloi on behalf of the Israelim getting benefit. The Kiloi is taking place, the Truma Tmeya is getting consumed by the fire because the Kohen wants to illuminate the street, that he should see where he's walking. So when the Israel gets Hanoah, that's called Hanoah She'el Shel Kiloi. That's a big question. This prohibition, Hanor Shel Kilui, is also for Israel. The Mishlam Melech quotes it. That's a big machlokes in Rishonim, but that's a din deraisa, a din derabanan. Tosfos is presented as if it's a din deraisa, as learned out from the pasuk. Mishmeres truma osai b'shtei truma sakasa medaber, achas truma tahara, achas truma tmeo. And mishmeres means you should be careful to be mishamer, even the truma tuluya, the truma that's suffic tam, you should be careful. And not to let it be hoylech leibud, and not to let it become nitma, tuma vaday. Rashi in the beginning of Chulin, that base on base, writes at that pasuk, mishmeres truma osai, that you have to be careful with the truma, that it shouldn't become tamei. The pasuk speaks about truma, but it's the kal v'chomer, that it's more so that it applies to karbonis. You have to be careful not to let karbonis become tamei. Then the pasuk mentions HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the matnas kuna to the kohanim lemoshcha. What does it mean lemoshcha? So the Gemara has a comment legedula. Legedula, kederach shehamalochem ochlem. You should eat the truma. Kohanim should eat the truma. The kohanim should eat the chazav v'shoik. Or as Rav Chayim b'hakeva, if you shecht in chulin, or if you shecht the shlamim, so you give the chazav v'shoik to the kohanim. Well, Chazav v'Shoik is anyway a carbon. All carbon should be eaten, l'mashcha l'gedula. But let's say the Zerah l'chayim v'akev should be eaten in a bekobedike fashion by the Kohanim. That's what the Chazal learned out from the word, l'mashcha. L'mashcha means l'gedula. I just attended a Pidyon HaBen on Sunday. One of the boys in the couple got married in the middle of the beginning of the pandemic. He barely had a minyan at his chasana, but for the Pidyon HaBen, he had a big crowd. It was very beautiful. So the Mordechai quotes a minig. They didn't have this on Sunday. Mordechai quotes a minig that started to become popular again in recent years when people started to become aware of this Mordechai, that there was a minig that the Balei HaTosfos had when you give the money to the coin for the Pidyon HaBen. Coin should be sitting on a chair like a king sitting on a throne, and the father, the Abbe HaBen, should stand in the presence of the coin. Because if the coin is a king and the father is respectful of the king, and he gives the money to the coin. So that's based on the Moshcha L'Gedula. That the Moshcha L'Gedula doesn't only apply to Karbonis, which has Kedusha, doesn't only apply to Truma, that has Kedusha's Truma, even to Pidyon HaBen money. There's no Kedusha in anything. Still, you have to give the money to the coin and it becomes a bigger fashion. The Psukim mention the Matnas Kahuna of Kochi Kochim. Kochi Kochim are more restricted in how long they can be eaten. Kochi Kochim is Chatos and Osham in a Mincha, are all Kochi Kochim. So they can only be eaten Yom V'Laila at Chatzos, Menatoru all night long, with the Rabbonin at Chatzos, Kedela Harchi Kesodom, Minho Aveira, the opening Mishnah and Broches. So it's more restricted in the time, more restricted in the place where it can be eaten. Kochi Kochim can only be eaten in the Azorah. Kochi Kochim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. And it's more restricted in who can eat it. So it says in the Chumash explicitly that the Kochi Kochim may only be eaten by Zichri Kohuna, only by male Kohanim. If you have a girl whose father is a Kohen, so she's a Bas Kohen is permitted to eat Truma. It says, L'chol v'anecho u'b'naisecho. The daughters can eat Truma also. The Eishes Kohen can eat Truma also. But the daughters are not permitted to eat the Kochi Kochim, only Lezichre Kuna. So the Kochi Kochim are more restricted. The Mokam Achila is only Azorah, and the Zman Achila is only Yom V'Layla at Chatzos. And the Oichlim is restricted, only Zichre Kuna, as opposed to Truma, which may be eaten L'chol V'anecho V'liv Neisecho. Eishes Kohen is Achelas B'Truma, so Rashi and Kiddushin, Daf Yudam and Beis, points out that there are two psukim. The Sifrei comments on the Pasuk in today's Sedra in Parshas Korach, Kol Tor B'Veischa Yochal Oisai, Kol Tor B'Veischa Beis is a Wishtoi, that Eishes Kohen is Achelas B'Truma. The Gemara has such a comment, the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, it says, V'Chipa Badoi B'Yad Beisai, so the opening Mishnah Yuma, the first Mishnah Yuma says, Beis is a wish that the Kohen Gadol has to be married in order to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. The Tosfos Rishonim is Mesupik on that, on the first Mishnah. What if the Kohen Gadol is not married? Is that Me'akev B'Di'evit? You say he just can't do the Avodah on Yom Kippur if he's not married. Either he has to get married today on Yom Kippur, you have to appoint a different Kohen Gadol because the Avodah will not be kosher. Or maybe it's only Lechatchila, maybe it's not Me'akev B'Di'evit. So that's a Sufik in the Tosfos Rishonim on the opening daf. On the opening Mishnah, Maseches Yuma. So the Bavli says that the Kohen Gadol has to be married on Yom Kippur with Nisuin. It's not sufficient if he has Erisin. In the days of the Tanakh, till the days of the Goinim, Erisin took place. Erisin is Kiddushin. A couple will get married today. In modern Hebrew, Erisin means he got engaged. But in Biblical Hebrew, Hanayra Hamarasa means that she's married. She's an Eshes Ish. And then Nesua means that they used to wait a couple of months, or up until a year, and then they would have Nisuin. So the difference in definition of an Arusa and Nesua, an Arusa is an Eshes Ish Alo B'Beis HaBaal, and then Nesua is an Eshes Ish B'Beis HaBaal. They're living together. And Atar, the din is Arusa Materis Labaila, the Rabban, she's Asur Labaila, until you recite the Sheva Brochas by the under the Chuppah, by the Nisuin. Kalabalai Bracha Sur La Baila Kenida. That's Midirabanim. And Atorah, Kalabalai Bracha is an Arusa. She's Materis La Baila, but he's not Mukhiyev in Sheikh Sisviyaina. He's permitted to live together. And the Rabbanim, they prohibited. Oris Barusasa is also Lovo Al Arusasa. They give him Makas Mardis if he's Boil Arusasa the Beis Chomov. So Rashi writes that the Gemara never discusses how you know that in the Suah, a girl who's not a Kohenis marries a Kohen, then she's permitted to eat Truma. So Gemara never discusses how do you know that if the girl is Nesu'a l'Kohen. Rashi said that's based on the Pasuk in Parshas Korach. Pasuk appears twice. That's a question. Why did I have to say twice? I'm not sure. But that's called Torah Beveischa Yochel Kodesh Beisuz Uishtoi is only in Nesu'a. Tosis has a problem in the first parak in Yuma. The Bavli is beferish that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to have Nisuin with his wife because it says, Chippa Bado Be'ad Beisa. Chippa means he says the Vidui. Ani Ubeisi, I sinned, and my wife sinned. So you have to have Nisuin for that to say Beisa Zuishta. Tosis has a caution that the Yerushalmi seems to contradict the Bavli. Sounds like it holds, the Yerushalmi sounds like it thinks that Erisin is sufficient. So that's a big machlekes. And the Rishonim, is it really a stira between the Bavli and the Rishonim? Or maybe there's another way to interpret the Rishonim? That's a question. But that's a difference in definition between Arusa and Nesua. Arusa is an Eshesish, a Lord Bebeis HaBaal, and the Nesua is an Eshesish, the Beis HaBaal. So the Gemara has a discussion. How do you know that Arusa Ochel is Betruma? From the Pasuk in today's Sedra, Koltor Bebeis HaYochel Kodesh, you would only know in Nesua. So that's when the Gemara says you need the other pasuk, koinyan kik and nefesh kinyan kaspa, just like behemis koin is ochelus betruma kinyan kaspo, and ever kneinishal koin is ochel betruma, that's kinyan kaspo, so eshes koin is also ochelus betruma. So that's a question. Behemis koin ochelus betruma, that's not a mitzvah, that's a mutter. There's no iser of bitl mitzvah if you feed the truma to a behemis koin. But the Shabbos, what about Eishes Koin? Eishes Koin Achelus Petruma. Is that a mitzvah? And before she's about to eat Truma, she'll recite the bracha like when a Koin is about to eat Truma. He says, Bari Minim Zainus, let's say it's cookies or cake. He says, Bari Minim Zainus, and he says, Bracha Shekadashan, Big Dushas, Shalai Mitzivan of Allah Chelus Truma. The Ramam has that in the last page in Hilchas Trumas. Even if the Koin is eating Chalas Chutzlort, he's eating Truma from Chutzlort. Also, he says, the Brichas HaMitzvah. So the Shailas Eishes Koin Achelus is based on the same pasuk as Behemas Koin, Abiknainishal Koin. Does that mean Eishes Koin Achelus is only a heter, like Behemas Koin? But if we say no, true, it's learned out from the same pasuk, then maybe it's a mitzvah, just like if the Koin eats Truma. It's a Kiyama mitzvah, and he says a Brichas HaMitzvah, Shekadishan Bigdishosh Shalah, Mitzvah, Alachilas Truma. Maybe the Eishes Koin is also in fulfillment of a mitzvah. When she eats the truma, this is a discussion.
Why couldn't you just learn that from Ishtar Kegufa?
Ishtar Kegufa is only a din benegat kroivim psulim la'edus, the Gemara has. It doesn't mean that they're one and the same person. There's such a Ramah in Hilchas in the Dark Emosha. In Hilchas Chanukah, the Ramah says that if a woman is married and the husband lights his menorah and the wife is going to light her own menorah, so Ishtar Kegufa is considered as if the same person lit two different menorahs, and it'll be a bracha levatolam. If the married woman will say a bracha on her own menorah, that'll be a bracha levatolam. So that's a pella. There is no such din. Let's say the husband eats a kazayis matzah, and the wife says a bracha al achilas matzah, and she eats her kazayis matzah. So it's as if the same person is eating matzah twice, Ishtar Kegufa. There is no such din. So that's a pella on the Ramah. Why? How does he say that a married woman is not allowed to say a bracha on hadlokas haminoira because ishtar kegufa, it's considered as if it's one and the same person doing hadlokas haminoira twice, and whoever lights second is saying a bracha levatol. That's a pella. Ishtar kegufa is only a din in the sugi of krivim. Let's say, I am posel edus mitam karev to my brothers, to my sisters, to my first cousins, at sheni b'sheni, to my uncles and aunts. What about to my wife's siblings, to my wife's parents, and to my wife's uncles and aunts and cousins? So mitam ishtar kegufa, any person who's my wife is a korev to that person, korev enough to be posleidus, they say ishtar kegufa, the kurva extends to the husband as well. But there is no din that you treat it like one person, just because the husband is a kohen, ishtar kegufa, we wouldn't say the wife is permitted to eat truma. So you have to have a beferish of pasuk to say so. Kol Torah beveischa yochel kodesh means that eshes koin is achelus betruma if she's in a suah. How do you know an arusa? So the Gemara says based on the pasuk koin kinyan nefesh kinyan kaspa. So that's a question. So Rav Menachem Zembe was a goyin agoyinim. He was a Polish boki, fantastic, but he has briska Torah. He spoke to everybody the way they knew how to learn. He knew how to talk and learning, all the different styles of learning. So he has tremendous form. So he had a son who died young. His name was Yehuda. So the father wanted to memorialize the son. So he published the Sefer Gur Aryeh Yehuda, which is a correspondence that he had with the son. The son was learning in a yeshiva, not with the father. He was learning in a yeshiva out of town. And they used to correspond with each other. So the son was only something like 19, 20 years old when he died. And he had such a fantastic bekiyas and such a way of expressing himself. It's unbelievably strong in learning. And Rachem Zembe's letters to him are even much stronger. But his letters are very strong, what he wrote to the father. Ur Sameach had a son-in-law who was a businessman, Rabbi Avram Luftbeer. Ur Sameach only had one daughter, and she was married to this businessman, and then he died, and then she died. So we have no descendants from the Ur Sameach. When the Ur Sameach died, there was no one there to sit Shiva. So I think the Ragat Shavar insisted that the Gemara says if someone dies, there's nobody there to sit Shiva. Community has to put together a minyan of 10 people to sit Shiva. You see, from the Gemara, there's a kiyum and observing Shiva for someone who is not a relative of mine. That's why it's on Shulchan Aruch. If a dear friend dies and someone wants to sit Shiva, there's such a thing as volunteering Shiva. That's why there's a practice if one is adopted by, even if the parents who raised him are not his blood relatives, but they raised him, they adopted him. So when the adopted parents die, so the proper practice should be that the one who was raised by them, the adopted child, should observe Shiva. Because there is such a concept as volunteering a Shiva. So the son-in-law of the Ur Sameach passed away, and he never had any children, never had any descendants. So Menachem Zembe wanted to memorialize him. So he had correspondence with him also. So he put out a sefer called Zera Avraham. His name was Avraham Luftbeer. He put out a sefer, Zera Avraham, this should be in the place of children that he never had. So he has his letters that he wrote him and Rabbi Avraham Luftbeer's. So Avraham Luftbeer's letters are very strong. Every so often he sent a letter from the Ur Sameach that the Ur Sameach had written in Dvar Torah. He sends out to Menachem Zembe. So those are very strong. Rabbi Menachem Zembe's letters are stronger than Rabbi Avraham Luftbeer. So just like he did for this Rabbi Avraham Luftbeer, called Zera Avraham, so he did for his own son who died. That's called the Sefer Gur Aryeh Yehuda. It's on different topics, a lot about Kodshim. Very strong Divrei Torah. So Rabbi Menachem Zembe has in his Sefer Zera Avraham, the other Sefer, not the Gur Aryeh Yehuda, Zera Avraham, he has a discussion of this topic. Eish is koin acheles betruma. Is that a mitzvah or is that a heter? Like a behemoth koin acheles betruma. It's a heter. It's not a mitzvah. You don't say a bracha. So he gives some marmakam. He has a pirush hamishnayis laharambam at the end of the first parak in Gittin. Then he has a chidush harim who discuss it. There's room to distinguish between the two. There's room to say that it depends whether she's an arusa or an esua. If she's an esua, and it's based on the pasuk called Torah Beveschal Yochal Kodesh. So it could be that then you say, like Ishta Kegufa, like you suggested before. That's what the pasuk tells us, that he treated like Ishta Kegufa. And Eish is going to Chalas Betrum is a mitzvah. But by an Arusa, could be it's not based on Kol Torah Beveschal. Basis of Ishta is only by Nesua. It's only based on Kinyu Kaspoi. So Kinyu Kaspoi could be it's only a Heta Ti Truma. But it's not that there's a key in my mitzvah. Maybe there's an afkamino also, la aloche. There's what to discuss over there. There is a discussion in the Ksais HaChoshen has a discussion. The Gemara talks about Nesina Bal Korchai. It's a sugi in Gittin. A man divorces his wife ala tanai on the condition that she gives him $100,000 within the next month. Right or wrong? Maybe it's extortion. Maybe it's not extortion. Depends what the case is. So what if he has charata? Why he made the get dependent on the giving of $100,000. And when she wants to give him the money, he refuses to accept it. So what's the din if she gives him the $100,000? The sin of Bal Koch, she wants to get to Bichal. So she gives him the cash, the $100,000. Bal Koch, he says he doesn't want it. He doesn't want to accept this. And Mar has a discussion in Kiyam HaTanai. Is that Kiyam HaTanai, the sin of Bal Koch Hashman, and sin or not? So there's a long Rashba, a whole long column in the Rashba. What's the din of sin of Bal Koch and other areas of Halacha? So the Rashba says, for Piron HaChayif, if the Loibet pays the Malva, Bal Koch, he has a Rai from the Gemara by Metzia. That Piron Bal Koch Hashmei Piron, that it is good for Piron HaChayif. And if you're giving a matana to someone, you want to give a matana. If the person doesn't want, he doesn't want. So he's not kaina, that's for sure. But the shayla is just over here. That he gave a kiddushan ala tanai, gave a get ala tanai. And the tanai, amanasha titin li masayim zuz, within a month. And then she did the nesina, Bal Koch, is that called the nesina or not? That's a shayla in the Gemara. So the Ksos discusses, what if you do pidyon aben Bal Koch of the coin? You give the 5 slime to the coin. Coin says, I don't want to accept it. But you made the money accessible to him. You put it in his pocket. You put it on the table in front of him. Are you yotze pidyon aben or not? Is that like piron achayv? Piron Bal Koch Hashmei Piron? If the loyvi gives the money to the malva just went to the mikvah there, Shabbos, he's getting ready to go to shul. And then the loyvi gives him $100,000 in cash. What's he going to do with the $100,000 on Erev Shabbos? Half an hour before he just got out of the mikveh, he's all dressed up for Shabbos. Has to go to the bank now. The bank is locked. The bank is open. He has to wait online in the bank. He doesn't want to go to the bank now. It's inconvenient for him. It's not right on the part of the loyve. If the loyve pays back the malve, let's say their car broke down in the middle of Harlem, and the loyve is afraid that the local natives are surrounding the car, and they're going to steal all the money that he has. So he says to the Malva, oh, I owe you $100,000. Here's the money. He gives him back. So the Gemara said, that's not called the Piron HaChayv. If the Malva lent him the money in his, under secure conditions, so when he makes the Piron, he has to pay it back. At least it has to be as secure as it was, as safe as it was at the time that he lent him the money. They can't pay him back the money when the car broke down in the middle of Harlem and all the natives are surrounding the car. But what if it is secure, but it's inconvenient? He makes a piron bal korcha of the malva in an inconvenient fashion. So that's a din piron bal korcha shmei piron. So would you say the same by pidyon aben? Pidyon aben is a piron hachayiv, and it's good bal korcha. That's a question. So the Ksois has such a chiddush to answer a certain kasha. He points out in today's sedra, it says twice. It says kisochu hu lachem chelav avedaschem mi'oil moed. It says that when you give the truma gedola to the kohen, that's tashlum is chiras payalim, because the kohanim do the avodah in Beis Hamikdash, and we're all mechiv to pay them a salary for doing the avodah. So that's why when you give the truma to the kohen, that's a form of piron achay, piron chiras payalim. The Nesivus is not happy with that. So he says at the end of a certain strong kasha that the Pichodesh was bothered with. So the Ktzais doesn't like the Pichodesh's answer, and the Nesivus doesn't like the Ktzais's answer. So the Nesivus says, the Ktzais himself points out the weakness of his answer. The Ktzais is talking about how come you have the ability, you yotze the mitzvah of Nesina Struma, if you give it to a kohen katan. Kohen katan before bar mitzvah can't be makar, cannot be makar karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. It has to be passed bar mitzvah. And nonetheless, if you give him truma, it's good. So how can you say, based on the pasuk, that giving truma is tashlum is chiras poelim? If the kohen katan is pasul avodah, so he doesn't, it's not chiras poelim by him. Of his man is that there is no Beis Hamikdash. No one's makar of any karbonis today. And still, you give truma to the kohanim. So you can't say, you can't take that pasuk literally, that giving over the truma to the kohen is a form of tashlum is chiras poelim. What do you do with the pasuk? I'm not sure. That's what the Ksos quoted. That so the Ksos raises the issue. It's possibility that if you give pidyon aben bal korchai, maybe that's piron achayiv. Piron bal korch shmei piron. Rav Soloveitchik said when you read the psukim in today's sedra, you get the impression ach padoy siftes bechor adam. The psukim are talking to the kohanim. The kohanim, who does the pidyon aben? The father is doing the pinyan ben by virtue of the fact that he gives the money to the kohen, or the kohen is doing the pinyan ben by virtue of the fact that he accepts the money. So the simple reading of the Chumash is ach podoy sivde, the kohenim are doing the pinyan ben by they're accepting the money. So if you give the money to the kohen, ba'al kocha rab salei chiktayne, the kohen is not doing anything. Piran ba'al kocha shmei piran, if there's a choiv, but for the kima mitzvah pinyan ben, you get the impression the kohen is considered actively involved in doing the pinyan ben by accepting the money. I mean, he has to accept it midaita. How can he give it ba'al kocha? It would appear from the chumash that you can't give it ba'al kocha. That's rab salei chiktayne. Then the Torah tells us when you give, at the end of the set, the Torah says, when you give the Maaser Rishon to the Levim, then the Levim have to give Maaser Min HaMaaser to the Kohanim. That's called Trumas Maaser. And then it says, V'nechshav lachem Trumas Chem, the Trumas Maaser that the Levim give to the Kohanim, Kadogem Min HaGoyim V'cham Leah Min HaYakev, has the exact same status as the Truma Gdoila that the farmer was mafresh to begin with. Farmer's mafresh 2% of everything as Truma Gdoila, then his mafresh 10% as Maaser Rishon, then his mafresh what's left, 10% of what's left, that's 9% of all things is Maaser Sheni. So it says, V'nechshav lachem Trumas Chem, the Trumas Maaser that the Levi gives to the Kohen, has the same status as Kadogam and Agam Cham Lehem and Ayakam, has the exact same din as Truma Gedolah. So that's the Pshut Shal Mikra. Then the Gemara has a drasha, an additional level of interpretation. V'nechshav lachem Truma Aschem, that Truma Nitelus B'machshova. Even though Hafrashas Truma should really belong to the category of things that are called Hafla'a, the Rambam has, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam has 14 Svarim. So one, each Sefer has a different name, Mada, Habaz, Manim, and Kedusha, and so on. So the Rambam has a Sefer Hafloah. Sefer Hafloah talks about Hilchos Shvuos, Naziris, Nedarim, Erchem v'Charamin, Hekdeshes, things that are Chala Yedei Amira. That's called Hafloah. Isha, Isha, Kiafli, Linda, Neda, Nazir, L'Hasad Hashem. Kiafli means Yifarish Bisfosov. Rashi writes, to speak, to pronounce something with your lips. So the din is that in Parshas Vayikra it says, Nefesh Kisishoba Levate Bisfosayim. That a shvuah is only chal if the person has dibur. If Gama believed that the person made up his mind, he's accepting a neder or a shvuah belibo, we say it's not batning tzorch lahitze bisvosov, because it says, levate bisvosayim, you have to pronounce the shvuah, the neder, with your lips. The Chumash only says it by shvuah, but most of the Rishonim hold that the din carries over to neder as well. There's a minority opinion that it only applies to shvuah, that on the dar machal b'machshav, that we don't really hold like that. We hold that you need haflo, you need dibur, by shvua, beferish and psuk and nefesh kis shava levate b'sasayim, and by nedar mosi and nid amira. So here the Gemara says truma nitelus b'machshava. If the person has, let's say, 100 bushels of grain, and he designates, he has in mind bushels number one. Every bushel has a number. He says the bushel number one and number two. Those 2% of the bushels, 2 out of 100. He wants them to become Truma Gedolah. So he doesn't even have to pick it up and he doesn't have to say anything with his lips. It says, V'nechshav lachem Trumaschem. Truma nitelus b'machshava. Truma is chal b'machshava. It's an exception to the rule. It's an exception to the rule. We know that the farmer has the ability to appoint a shliach to be mafresh to Truma on his behalf. The Gemara in the beginning of the second parak in Kedushin has a long discussion, the first sugi and the second parak. How do you know? Where do you know from the Chumash that Shluch HaShalotim Kemoisai, that a person can appoint a Shlech to give Kiddushin to a girl whom he wants to marry? He can appoint a Shlech to give a get to his wife, to sell a house, to buy a house. And you can appoint a Shlech to be Mafis Truma on your behalf. So the Gemara knows it happened. The word Gam says, Kein Torima Gam Atem is Truma Sashem. Gam the Rabbis is HaShalotim. The word Gam is a ribui. And the Gemara says, if you have two dinim written next to each other in the same pasuk that we treated like a hekesh, here it says, Kantarima gam atem. Ma'atem ledaitachem, apshluchachem ledaitachem. The shliach has to be, let's say, ma'atem b'nei bris. The Torah is speaking to Jewish people. The non-Jews are not mechuyev in hafrashas truma. So ma'atem b'nei bris, apshluchachem b'nei bris. Shliach has to be Jewish. You can't have a non-Jew function as a shliach. And ma'atem ledaitchem, abshelachachem ledaitchem. A lot of details on Hilchos Shlichus are learned out from the fact that the word gam, which is l'rabbis is hashliach, appears in the Chumash right next to the word atem. Atem means the farmer himself has the ability to be mafresh truma, and gam means a shliach can be mafresh and kein torim. Gam atem is it makes a hekesh between the shliach and the atem. What exactly do you do with Maaser Rishon? You give it to the Levim. Can you, on the level of their Isaac, can you give Maaser Rishon to a Kohen? So the Gemara has Machlokes HaTanaim about this in the second perek in Ksubis. Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. The Gemara points out that there are 24 places in Tanakh, B'chof Talad Mekoymus, happens to be Chof Talad Matnas Kuhuna, but it's totally unrelated. So the Gemara says, B'chof Talad Mekoymus Nikru Kohanim Levim. You have 24 places in Tanakh that the Chumash is referring to Kohanim, and it says the Kohanim b'nei Levi. So the Kohanim are also Levim. So Rav Loza ben Azariah is of the opinion that in the Torah, when you give Maaser Rishon to the Levi, you can give it either to a Kohen or to a Levi, because the Kohanim are also Levim. And we don't paskin like Rav Loza ben Azariah, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Halachik Rabbi Akiva, that Truma min HaTorah can only be given to the Levi, it can't give it to the Kohen. But it's true, B'chop Talam Mekamis Nikru Kohanim Levim, the Kohanim are Levim. So I think the answer probably, you have to say, probably runs as follows. There's a Tosus in the end, towards the end of Becheris, next to the last Perek in Becheris, has all the Dinim of Pidyon HaBen. The last Perek in Becheris is about Maisa Behemah. But next to the last Perek has all the Dinim of Pidyon HaBen. So Tosfos shows from the Gemara there that that seem to be two different concepts. There's a concept of Shevet Levi and a concept of Kedushas Levi. So a Kohen has Kedushas Kehuna, does not have Kedushas Levi, but he is a member of Shevet Levi. So that's to define what is the Machlokes of Akiva and Blaz Marazariah. That's the Machlokes. B'chof Talam Mekamis Nikru Kohanim Levim, because they come from Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. So that's the Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. Rabbi Akiva holds that you're not Yotze the mitzvah min HaTorah if you're going to give the Maaser Rishon to a Kohen. You have to give it to a person who has Kedushas Levi, and Kohanim have Kedushas Kuna, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. And Rabbi Loza ben Azariah says, no, you have to give the Maaser Rishon to a person who is from Shevet Levi. He doesn't have to have Kedushas Levi. So even though Kohanim do not have Kedushas Levi, but they belong to Shevet Levi. So that's why you would be Yotze if you were to give the Maaser Rishon to a Kohen on the level of the Raisa, you would be Yotze. Then the Gemara has a tradition. This is discussed in the second parak in Ksuvis in the Gemara. There's no, Tosis points out there, there's no Pasuk in Tanakh to this effect. The Gemara had an oral tradition that Ezra made a penalty, Ezra Konesas HaLevim, because the story is related in Tanakh. At the end of the 7 years of Golas Babel, Ezra wanted to bring about Shivas Zion, the Jewish, and move back to Eretz Yisrael. So they had a whole group of Jews traveling back. And then he asked, how many of you are Kohanim? How many of you are Levim? So there were hardly any Levim. There weren't enough Levim. You can't run a Beis HaMikdash, because if you have two Levim, they can't stay up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have to have a minimum number of Levim. If you're going to have a lot of business in the Beis HaMikdash, a lot of people are going to come. You have to have a lot of Kohanim and a lot of Levim. So Kohanim, there were enough, but there weren't enough Levim. So because the Levim didn't join along, there was a significant lack of Levim. There was a small group, but there was a significant lack among the Levim. Levim, and Ezra told everybody to stay by a certain river. He said, wait over here, I have to go back to Babel to schlep more Levim, because we don't have the whole purpose of returning to Eretz Yisrael in order to build a Beis HaMikdash and to reinstitute the Karbanos. They didn't have enough Levim. So so the Gemara says, because of that incident, Ezra penalized the Levim regarding giving the Maaser Rishon. So what exactly was the penalty? So the Gemara in the second parak in Ksubis presents it like this. According to Rabbi Akiva, that min HaTorah you're only Yotze if you give Maaser Rishon to a Levi. If you give to a Kohen, you're not Yotze. So mid the Rabbanan, they changed it. Hefke bez nefke, they changed it, that you can fulfill the mitzvah giving away Ma'aser Rishon either to a Kohen or to a Levi. They changed it one step different from what the Din Deraisa was. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that Min HaTorah, you can either give it to a Kohen or a Levi, because B'chav Talam becomes Nikur Kohanim Levim. In other words, you can give Ma'aser Rishon to one who belongs to Shevet Levi. He doesn't necessarily have to have Kedushas Levi. So then what was the penalty of Ezra? Ezra made a penalty that you can only give it to Kohanim. You're not allowed to give it to the Levim. That's how the Gemara says. The nature of the penalty, the knas of Ezra, depends on what was the nature of the din deraisa in the first place, that you have to give away the ma'aser rishon to the Levim, where you yotze min hatorah if you give to a Kohen or a Levi, or these are you only yotze if you gave to a Levi. Whatever the din deraisa is, so the penalty of the Rabbanan is one step away from that din deraisa. The Rambam quotes that penalty, and he writes a strange word. He adds a word. He says, Ezra konasa es alavim shebedoro. Ezra penalized the Levim who lived in his generation. So the Menchas Chinuch asks, what do you mean, shebedoro? The Tanoim talk about the penalty. The Tanoim didn't live in the days of Ezra. Ezra was in the beginning of Baisheni. Baisheni, according to the Gemara, lasted 420 years. This is way later. The Tanoim lived after the Churban Abayis. And according to the Goyisha history books, the Baisheni lasted 150 years longer than what it says in the Gemara, more than 420 years. So what do you mean that the Rambam says the penalty was the Levim in his generation? It wasn't only the Levim, it was the Levim in the days of the Tanaim, it was a few centuries later, and still the penalty applies. And then Chaschina has a suggestion. It's very fluky suggestion. He says, maybe he penalized the Levim Shebedoro means up until Yemos HaMashiach is all the same generation. It can't change a din. As the Menchas Chinuch, to defend this Rambam, is relying on a famous Taz, that the Taz writes, Yesh Keach B'Achachamim, the Chachamim have the ability to be Yoykadov Min HaTorah. They tell us that when Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos, we shouldn't blow Shofar. And when you wear a four-cornered garment made from linen, you shouldn't put in any tzitzis at all, because they're afraid that we'll put in woolen strings and we won't have the proper tchedus and we'll be in violation of shatnes, shalom and makam mitzvah, and there won't be any heta. So every so often, there's a kalal yeshkach v'achachamim lakadav min ha-Torah v'shevi al-tasa. They tell us not to fulfill a mitzvah. So the Taz has a question. Why did they only do away with Kiyuv Shofar when Rosh Hashanah is Choliyos B'Shabbos? Because Shema Yabarena Dalaram is B'Shus Aram. They're concerned someone may forget and carry it in the street. They should have done away with Kiyuv Shofar Legamre because it's Mashmiya Kol. Shema Yisak and Klishir. You're not allowed to play a trumpet on Rosh Hashanah. So you should say, you're not allowed to blow Shofar because of Mashmiya Kol. So the Taz gives an answer. He has this in three different places, in three different contexts. He says, Hacham have a right to be Yoykadom and HaTorah, but not Keneged the Din and the Chumash. If they're going to make a Takana, you're never allowed to blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because Mashmiya Kol. So then they're undoing the whole mitzvah, their eyes up to Shofar. If they say when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, you shouldn't blow Shofar, it doesn't say explicitly in the Chumash that you do. It's self-understood. It says, Rosh Hashanah, you blow Shofar. I mean, HaTorah blowing Shofar does not constitute a malocha. The Gemara has an expression, Tekiah Shofar is chochma ve'ein a malocha, it's not a malocha. So it's mutta min HaTorah to blow Shofar. So memeli yemuchuyib. So they have a right to be oika dov min HaTorah, because it's not explicitly kenega dov ha'mufurish b'Torah. Doesn't really say black and white, you have to blow Shofar, even if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. It's self-understood, but it's not explicit. But if you're going to do away with the whole Kiyuv Shofar, never going to blow Shofar. So the Taz has the Chiddush, the Chacham have the right to do that. Rabbi David Cohn from Flatbush, Magul Yabitz, has a whole Sefer. I had a copy of this Sefer from years ago, so he just sent me another copy of this Sefer, the new edition, which has many more Hasafis. The title of the Sefer is B'Divrei HaTaz HaYodua, about this Taz, that you can't make a gzeret, the Taz was the son-in-law of the Bach. So he quotes this from his father-in-law, and he applies it to additional cases. So Rabbi David Cohn goes through all of Shas, and all the Rishonim take a stand at one place or another about this topic, whether you do hold like the Taz or you don't hold like this Taz. So that's what the Minhag Chinuch suggests, that if the Din Min HaTorah is that if the Din Min HaTorah is like Rabbi Akiva, let's say, that you're only in fulfillment of the mitzvah of giving over Maaser Rishon to the Levi. If you give it to a Levi, give it to Kohen, you're not Yotze. And then Ezra's going to make a penalty, going to change the whole Din Min HaTorah. So that's not right. To change, never to fulfill the mitzvah there, I say, never going to do it. How can they do that? So that's why the Rambam says, Ezra penalized the Levim Shebidoro in his generation. But it's befavorish in the Gemara that it was even Bizman after the Churban Baisheni. That was a few centuries after. Baisheni was at least 420 years after the days of Ezra. So that's what the Minhag Chinuch suggests. Maybe when the Rambam writes, Ezra penalized the Levim Shebedoro, means that Dor, that Hafroshes, Trumas, and Mises is only Midirabbonim. The Rambam writes that Trumas, and Mises, Bizman, and Zafilib, Bimei Ezra, was only Midirabbonim, because it was a lack of Bias Kulchem. So that's these are some of the dinim in today's Seder. At the end of the Seder, you have many of the Matnas Kuna are reviewed because Korach was tried to be chelik ala kuhuna, so the Torah reviews some of the matanas. Okay, should all have a good Shabbos. Everyone should be healthy.
May I please ask a question?
Sure.
You mentioned kodshe kodshim. The pasuk in Torah refers to kodesh kodeshim tielochem. Does the Gemara anywhere say what the ramifications of Kodesh Kodeshim means by Ktoris?
Ktoris, I don't know. You got to look in the Torah to meet him if he quotes anything. I don't remember at all. Maybe if you take it out of the Azor, it'll be Nifsal B'yotze. Maybe it just means Kipshuto. If you take Besar Chata, you can only eat it in the Azor. If you take it out of the Azor, even if you bring it back in, Nifsal B'yotze, so there's probably the din by the Ktoris as well. Torah says kochi kochim, so the mokim is the azor. If you take a chutz lazor, even if you bring it back in, it's nivsal b'yotze. I would think that probably is true. Maybe that's what the pasuk means. Has the din like kodesh kadosh, kochi kochim, yeah. Got to look it up.
Maybe?
Yep.
When Chazal said that Onan Pelet's wife uncovered her hair in front of the tent so they wouldn't come to her husband,
yeah.
Why don't Chazal consider that also like an Aver Lishma or in the same category as like Esther and Yael?
I thought it meant Taiva. Yeah. That she wanted to save her husband.
Oh, they said Lishma.
I think so. Got to look again at the Medrash. But it was meant to Sheva. That's if you want to save a husband.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
Have a good job.
Rabbi, if I could ask just very quickly, there's a title that came up that not connected to the Parsha. There was a title that came up that somebody asked. I said I would ask Rabbi that. If there's a fellow who is who's in the midst of becoming a Baal Tshuva, who would like to come to a shul for davening, but right now lives too far away from be able to be there for Shabbos, and he wants to come for Kabbalah Shabbos, is he able to come for Mincha on Erev Shabbos, for Mincha and then Kabbalah Shabbos, it's early for Kabbalah Shabbos, and then go home afterwards, or is it not advisable? If he says Kabbalah Shabbos up until, let's say, the end of Luchadoidi, until right before, and does not say Mizmor Shir. So is that something which would that be, like at what point is he Mekabel Shabbos?
I mean, he personally is not going to be Mekabel Shabbos.
Okay. Some of that.
Okay.
At what point of davening do we say that we're Mekabel Shabbos? If one is making early, so Rebbe had once said that we do it by Mizmor Shir Liyom Shabbos.
Yeah.
He
has in mind not to accept Shabbos. Okay. He has in mind he plans to drive back home.
Okay.
I
wasn't sure from the last, when Rebbe had mentioned it once, that is the Mizmor Shir Liyom Shabbos a a default acceptance of being the Kabbalah Shabbos, even if one does not necessarily have in mind. In other words, if a person doesn't have in mind not to be, so do we? Does that mean that he is Mekabel Shabbos?
I think we usually assume that the Yechida Manigrar after the Tzibur, that if there's only one minion in town and the minion is davening early, so all of the Yechidim have to be Mekabel Shabbos at the time that the Tzibur is Mekabel Shabbos. If you have more than one minion, most cities have more than one minion. There's an early minion and a late minion. So even though he davened mincha by the early minion, he said Kabbalah Shabbos, he doesn't want to be Mekabel Shabbos, because not the whole tzibur is not being Mekabel Shabbos. In Prague, the minig was that yes. they would daven Kabbalah Shabbos early, an hour before the Shkia, and they would have musical accompaniment, and then everybody would go home. They would say Miz Mishal Yamshad. Everybody would go home and take their bath and get dressed and put up the cholent and put up all the food. Then they came to shul later, and they said Mizmiz Aliyah Shabbos a second time. So that's why the practice now is in Prague, that they say Mizmiz Aliyah Shabbos twice. Today it doesn't make sense. Why do they say twice? It's back-to-back, one after the other. But the minig originally began because they used to play music when they sang L'chun Rana, when they said L'chun Rana, till the end of Mizmiz Aliyah Shabbos. Then they went home. Then they came back and they said a second time, an hour and a half later, said a second time, Ms. Mishal Yom Shabbos. That already had no music. So they had the fairish in mind not to be Mekabel Shabbos. The stam and all the villages, they're probably more than one minion. It's probably going to be a later minion. So this fella has a mind. He doesn't want to, he's only joining the first minion for the mincha and for the Kabbalah Shabbos, but he's not Mekabel Shabbos with them. He doesn't want to join along with that tzibur.
When I was in Prague by the Altenoy Shul, so they still say Mizmor Shir Yom Shabbos twice, one right after the other, and in the book that's been handed down from Gabbai to Gabbai, from the generations, that goes back to the Maharal, and they have a different reason that they do that they say it
twice.
They say by the Maharal that they give it his day over the Mises. I don't know that Rebbe's reasoning is probably more of the thing, but there the Mises that they say over is that the Maharal was coming and he was running. He had to run out and during davening, he had to run out for something. They have a Mises for that. And then when he came back, so they didn't want that the Maharal should have missed Mizmor Shir Yom Shabbos to be Makabel Shabbos at the Tzibur. So the Gabbai made an impromptu decision that they're going to say Mizmor Shir a second time, so he shouldn't have missed it. So yeah. Afterwards, they said they have the whole Arichus is written out, and they said so the Maharal said, why are we doing that? And they said, oh, we thought it would be the old minhag of Prague. So he said, okay, I don't know, and that's when I was there. So the Gabbai showed me the book, and he showed me this long Arichus that was written out.
Mm-hmm.
But they still do that now. But it's one right after the other.
Right. Schneer Lyman claims that the correct reason is this, that right. Then between the first time and the second time, everybody went home. They played music the first time. Everyone went home, and then they came back an hour later. And then they said again, Ms. Michelle Yama Shabbos, with the intention of being Mekabel Tosefet right. Shabbos, yeah.
Right. That fits with Schneer Lyman's shuto on the rest of the Maharal, the stories by the Maharal. That fits with Schneer Lyman's shita on that.
Yes.
Rosenzweig mm-hmm. Sr. used to laugh about it. That's what Schneer Lyman holds, and so he said he's not so sure that that's necessary. That the non-Jews in Prague are still scared of the Jewish community because of Maisa Shehaya way back by the Maharal. There's still the huge statue that they have in the middle of the town. There's two statues on either side of the main city hall. One of them is the Maharal, and he looks like a scary wizard. And then on the other side is a statue of the Golem. On the other side, so they don't mess with the Jews because they're afraid that somebody's going to go and get the Golem from the attic in the Altenoy Shul.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very funny. Alavai, yeah. We should do that everywhere else, but didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay.
All right. Very good, Ruby. Thanks so much.
Guten Shabbos.
Guten Shabbos. Thanks so much. Both of you.
Good.
But the Goyim did not stop the Nazis.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a maisa by that also. There's a maisa by that also. They have that on the shul. So if you send me a thing, the back of the shul, they have a whole maisa that the Goyim is taken apart, is upstairs in the attic, but that somebody went up into the attic, and that the reason the Altonai shul was never touched by the Nazis was because somebody went up there. And mysteriously, one of the Nazis went up there, and then he mysteriously died. And so they didn't want to go back up there because they were, you know. That's the legend of Prague. But yep. I don't know. All right, thanks, Rabbi. Regards to the Rebbe.
Very good.
Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
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 Shabbat shalom and mevorach.
Amen. Kain lamar.
Shabbos.